Not at all. All right. Y'all get your donuts, your coffee. Did y'all get the tacos? Y'all didn't get the tacos? Y'all didn't see them? Oh, they must have already been eaten. I'm sorry. I thought y'all had tacos this morning. All right, listen, I'm gonna minister to you a message, kind of on a Christmas message, but you know me, I like to twist some things up a bit, just kind of twist it that way. And then we're going to go into our Vision Sunday, and I'll begin to speak to you about the things that the Lord has put on my heart concerning the church. If I could, just give me a minute as we set some things up. Miss Carla, can we use your baby real quick? Can you come with me, baby? Jeremiah, Mike, will you take them around to my office, please, with Pastor Inez? Okay, and then yeah, I need you staying over here. Okay. All right. As they get some things ready, it's okay. We keep the kids in and do family service today. We okay? All right. If they get a little restless, it's okay. It's Christmas. You get restless too. All right. Are you ready? Can you go to the next slide, David, please? All right. I want you to know something. We won't have service this coming Wednesday and the following Wednesday. When we started this church, we made it a point to always make sure that we stay balanced in the ministry, that we're not so busy doing church that we forget and negate our family and our time. So we always done this is we've always had service that like the Christmas service, Thanksgiving, stuff like that, that we take that off and spend it with our family and friends. And many are traveling to begin with, so we don't want to add any more pressure. Well, I got to get to church or whatever the case may be. So we want us to spend that time, okay? All right, next one, David. Hope is born. I want to share with you a message, and it, of course, it's a Christmas message, but then I'm going to share with you something a little bit more. The next slide, please. Will you make room for him? Turn to Luke 2, please. Luke 2, and we'll begin to go into the message, and then I'll share with you what the Lord has put in my heart. Turn to the Gospel of Luke, St. Luke, chapter 2. And when you're there, say amen. You've been already given your envelopes for your tithe and your offering. As you make that out, I want you to hold it to the end of the service. And as we give it, I want to bless each and every one of those envelopes. Amen. All right. Luke chapter 2, beginning at verse 1. And I will begin reading. And it came to pass in those days that there went out a decree from Caesar Augustus that all the world should be taxed. And this taxing was first made when Cyrenius was governor over Syria. And all went to be taxed, everyone into his own city. And Joseph also went up to Galilee and out of the city of Nazareth, into Judea, unto the city of David, which is called Bethlehem, because he was of the house and the lineage of David, to be taxed with Mary, his espoused wife, being great with child. And so it was that while they were there, the days were accomplished that she should be delivered. Verse 7, and she brought forth her firstborn son, and wrapped him in swaddling clothes, and laid him in a manger, because there was no room for them in the inn. There was no room for them in the inn. And there were in the same country shepherds abiding in the field, keeping watch over their flock by night. And lo, the angel of the Lord came upon them, and the glory of the Lord shone around them, and they were so afraid. And the angel said to them, fear not, for behold, I bring you good tidings of great joy, which shall be to all people. For unto you is born this day in the city of David a Savior, which is Christ the Lord. And this shall be a sign unto you. You shall find the babe wrapped in swaddling clothes and lying in a manger. And suddenly there was an angel and a multitude of the heavenly host praising God and saying, glory to God in the highest, and on earth peace, goodwill towards men. And it came to pass as the angels were gone away from them into heaven, the shepherds said one to another, let us now go even unto Bethlehem and see the thing which has come to pass, which the Lord hath made known unto us. And they came with haste and found Mary and Joseph and the babe lying in a manger. And when they had seen it, they made known abroad, saying, which was told to them concerning this child. And all they heard it wondered at those things which were told them by the shepherds. But Mary kept all these things and pondered them in their heart. And the shepherds returned, glorifying and praising God for all the things that they had heard and seen, as it was told to them. Father, I thank you for the reading of your word. I thank you that it's true yesterday, today, and forevermore. I thank you that your word still permeates our hearts. It still changes our lives. It still makes manifest that which is spoken into our life. Father, I thank you in Jesus' mighty name. And all of God's children said, amen. Now, you read the same thing I just read, correct? You may have had it in a different wording, different verbiage. But what I want to share with you is something that I believe that we need to take account to. This is out of the Gospel of Luke, and Luke records it differently than the other Gospels do. Now, we find that there's a baby that's about to be born, right? But what went out first? There was a decree that everybody be taxed, right? Now, here's what I want you to understand, if I can get in that prophetic vein for a minute. Is it okay? Is it okay? Because I'm going to go anyhow. But is it okay? Is it all right? Okay. Now listen, anytime there is about to be purpose, birth in your life, you are about to experience a taxing. Y'all gone through an easy season this year, right? It's been okay? It's been okay? No? But you're Christians. It should be okay. Right? See, that's how you know your purpose is when the taxing comes. See, the baby hadn't even been born yet. She was just carrying the baby. Are you following along with the story here? See, we want to read a story about the baby Jesus, and it's so beautiful. So beautiful. Baby Jesus. Baby Jesus. Wrapped in swaddling clothes. So beautiful. But how come when you're carrying purpose, there ain't no room for you? How come when you're carrying the very thing that is about to bring hope into people's lives, there's no room for you? How come that when we're carrying something that has been spoken, prophesied, that an angel even comes to declare how wonderful and favored you are? I got God in me. I got God in me. You mean you ain't gonna make room for me? You don't understand. I got God in me. No, you don't understand. I'm carrying the Savior of the world in me. Y'all don't understand that? Hey, I'm about to give birth to God. Will y'all let me in? How come it is when every time you're carrying purpose, ain't nobody want to let you in? You're always kind of pushed aside. Always forgotten. And not only that, the birthing doesn't even come in a sterile place. You know when you go into a hospital, you smell the hospital before you even walk into the room. I don't know about you, but I don't like the hospital smell. I don't like it. It reminds me that there's something that was once there that was dirty. If you be real truth, it's still there. They just try to cover it up with bleach and all this other kind of chemicals and stuff. It's the chemicals and all that's making it even worse. But I'm just trying to tell you that they try to make things right. Clean and ready for you. They even change the bedding, right? We hope they do. Change the bedding. See, when we were in Kenya, they were telling us, if you value your life, you don't want to go to the hospital. I'm sick and there's something going on. I need to go to the hospital. No. You don't want to go to the hospital. And if I'm lying, I'm dying today. This is what they said. When you get to the hospital, you have to bring your own sheets. Mm-hmm. your own medication, your own instrument for the doctor to use. Now, listen here. You think that you got yourself in a good location because you see two beds, so it's a semi-private room. So they put you on this bed, and you think, I got it made. It's just me and this other person. But what happens is, you may have gotten there early, and people are about to check in. They're going to tell you, scoot over in that little single bed, because I'm going to put another person in there. Oh, yeah. That's not your family member. And their feet are going to be in your face. Isn't that pretty? Pretty, you know? Put your feet in front. Now, look. This is truth. Then you think, okay, well, just a little spray, powder, whatever, and I'll deal with the smell. And you think that's it. But then they bring more people in, and they put them under the bed. I ain't lying to you. Truth? So now you have two people in each bed, so that's four people in the beds, and then people underneath the bed. What I'm trying to tell you is that sometimes when you want to go give birth to promise, there's other people birthing at the same time. But they may not be birthing the very thing that you're birthing. And some people feel just because they see that you've been carrying something for a long time, that they got to be close to you. Haven't you ever felt like people just want to get around you because they know something's about to happen for you? Well, can I just be around you because I see some things happening with you? Can I just get around you because there's some things about to happen. I can just sense it. I can feel it. So I'm going to get up in your bed too, and you're going to birth at the same time. Oh, no, you're not. Be very careful. Very careful. Because what is about to birth for you is not for somebody else. You're carrying purpose in you. And it goes through a season of hardship. It goes through a season where nobody makes room for you. Mm-hmm. Because some people, just because they're pregnant, doesn't mean they're taking care of the baby. They're taking care of themselves. While others may be pregnant and they're very concerned about what they're carrying. Do you see the contrast? Mm-hmm. That I know that what God has placed inside of me, I've experienced these things where people want to get up on me. You got the word. Well, you get it. No, I know you got something for me. Well, go get it yourself. But you got something that's going to unlock me. The Bible unlocks you. Presence unlocks you. When he speaks, it unlocks you. But all of a sudden, then, you get tugging on enough. You get tugging on enough. Not everybody can be around you when you're getting ready to birth. All of a sudden now, in today's society, not Kenyan society, today's society, when we're giving birth, we have video cameras and we have CNN and Fox News, everybody in there during this time of intimacy. Time of vulnerability. We want to announce everything. Look at the baby. You're not showing the baby. If truth be told, the birthing process is very nasty, very dirty, and unclean. And there's some things during the birthing process that has to be done in private. We read about what took place with our beautiful Savior that comes in, and she's carrying this baby, going with Joseph. Matter of fact, I read on someone's Facebook that they put on an unplanned pregnancy. I read from the very beginning, it was planned. It was planned from the very beginning. Nothing is unplanned. And, you know, I quickly wanted to respond. I said, ooh, I better not. I better not respond. There's not one birth in this world that was not purposed. If you feel, well, you don't know what I went through. You were on purpose. You're not an accident. Regardless of what society wants to say that you're an accident, you're birthed on purpose. What that purpose is going to be determined by what you do with purpose in your life. And you've got to carry it until you understand that destiny is getting ready to open up for you. You see, I find it very interesting that Jesus was not born in a house either. During a society that had midwives. Got to understand this about midwives. They were no relation to you at all. They don't want to hear this. But a midwife is going to come in, and the first hands that touch the very promise in your life is going to be foreign, and it's not even family. See, a midwife was there because there was no place to go. And I know there's times that we probably needed, you know, what we have Lamaze teachers, you know, the Lamaze is when you're getting birth, they teach you how to breathe, I'm breathing. You know, nowadays you just go in, you schedule the C-section, you schedule your birth, you go in, you come out, boom, let's go. No? Don't happen like that? See, what happens is the birthing is coming because you know it's getting close. But we don't like the pain that we're about to experience. So when you get in there, a doc, when you go right here, right down the spine, just do that shot. You know, out from up here, I'm good. But down there, don't feel nothing. That's why men don't have babies. Men don't have babies because we can't take the pain. I talked to you about the last thing that when I got hurt was my paper cut. The world ended with that paper cut because it hurts so bad. Women have the ability to go beyond what men do. Don't hate me, man. Don't hate me. I'll be the first to tell you I don't like pain. If I even feel something coming on me, there goes 3 Tylenols right away. I don't even know what to take it. Why? I know some kind of pain's coming and I don't like it. Or you know how we do also that when pain starts to come in, you just want to go to sleep so you don't have to deal with it? Yeah, that's what happens with a lot of people that carry purpose. It's painful, it's uncomfortable, and all we want to do is mask the pain. They didn't have that back in the day. And I'm so glad there was not a midwife during the birthing of our purpose. That somebody else's hands would touch the process that was about to begin with your destiny. Didn't smell good. It didn't even sound good. Nowadays, when you're going to go birth a baby, oh, they got this beautiful soft music playing in the background. The lights are dim, nice and low for you. The only thing you're hearing is the heartbeat of the baby. All these wires are attached to you so they can monitor the baby. What was monitoring Jesus to establish his birthing and his coming? Nothing but God. I find it very interesting, though, and in the Gospel of Luke, he announces to the shepherds, the angels come. In the Gospel of Luke, to who? Shepherds. To announce the birth of Jesus. The shepherds go. This is going to mess up your nativity set. I know it. I know you just bought one. And if you're like my wife, because right after Christmas, you're going to go get the cells and go get a whole new nativity set. All right? We put the baby in a little manger. I mean, that'd get pretty. With the sheep, the cow, Mary in the background, and Joseph like, yeah, that's my boy, right? And then every nativity set has 3 kings. Three kings kneeling or standing looking at Jesus. Hello, can we get the nativity set right? Y'all don't want to hear this one. You don't want to hear this. Because Luke gives it the account of who was born. The true shepherd was born to the announce to the shepherds that the true shepherd was born. That the heavenly host even came down to the shepherds that were already in the field at night. Because Jesus is the shepherd in your night season. And announces to the shepherds, the shepherd is born. You're not going to find him anywhere but in the manger. You're not going to find him where people think they got it together. You will find him where it's stinking, it's noisy, and it's the unthinkable to be born in. He announces to the shepherds that the angels begin to sing of the birth of Jesus in the wrongful and most wrongful place to be born. Our King Jesus is born. They didn't go clean the manger. They knocked and they knocked at the door, and it says that there was no room for them in the inn. My question to you is, will you make room for Jesus? Will you make room for him? That he'll tell you, don't go and do this because something could happen to you. Will you make room and listen to what he is saying and let him into your heart? Or are you so caught up that I want to go do my thing and I want to please myself as opposed to what you're carrying is purpose inside of you? And not everybody can be near you when you're getting ready to birth in. Sometimes he's got to take you out of one place and take you to another place so he can establish his will in your life. But people don't like the change or the journey. She didn't jump in. No nice Range Rover. Get in the car and let's just drive on over to that place and see if they'll let us in. It was a journey before their birthday. And it's hard. Nobody likes it. It's uncomfortable. There's a stretching that is taking place. You're being transformed. Being changed, and it hurts. But the true birth of purpose is never where you think it's going to be birthed. It is birthed in your pain. And it is birthed in the darkness of where you've been. That the angels of heaven are sent to the shepherds in the field to announce that the shepherd is born. Will you make room for him? How do you know you're making room for him? Because you stop doing the things that you desire. And you start doing the things that he desires. Oh, we're going to get to a place in this church where you start putting that flesh on the altar. Because I want it to feel good and I want it to look good. There ain't nothing wrong with looking good. It's being good on the inside. Don't let me even get started on the 14 generations before Jesus came. Much less to talk about the 14 years that from David in captivity until Jesus came. Much less the other 14 years. And what God is intending for us to do. We're ending 2014. To step into something new. And to experience the very birth of purpose and destiny. The year of the hand was 2014. And the year of an open door. But we could never forget what 2013 was about. Is putting the ear to the ground, listening for the camels to come. You don't just take the year or the number and say, this is it. You've got to understand that things come in its order. To speak of what God's divine order is. 2015 will be a year to be transcended into your purpose. So that we let go of old and step into something new. You'll live in a place that you've never been. You'll experience something you've never experienced. You'll see the land that you've yet to be seen. You'll step into promise that you've only heard about. So you're about to see things begin to manifest in your life. 2015 will be a year that things begin manifesting in your life. Because the hand has opened the door for your blessing to become manifest. Will you make room for him? Will you make room? Ms. Lisa, I'm just going to release a word that hit me the other day as I was sitting on my couch having my coffee. I saw your son Derek and Jonathan in this house arranging a whole new praise and worship team. I saw him telling Josh that he was about to experience exactly what God showed you in a vision. That's your son. See, when I went to your house and I hugged him, it was a different hug, a different response. And I knew that what was about to take place was about to be manifested. And he told you, this is her son telling you, you're about to see what God has shown you in the visions. That you guys were going to put together a whole new group and a whole new sound. And that's when the Lord said, I'm doing something different, Marty. Will you let me do it? Or will you go back to your old ways? Because it's familiar to you. So, Lord, I just want what your will is. I don't want the permissive. I want perfected will. And I knew that something was about to happen. Yesterday, we went to go to do our Project 61. And we're supposed to go out and evangelize. And come to find out, they forgot that we were coming. And they were using the event center to wrap all the gifts for tonight's party for the Olives on Quartz. We're 300 gifts in only 4-5 volunteers. So Project 61, the House of Manna, which we are, we show up. They're like, oh, we forgot. We'll move out of the way. I said, no, we're here, so we'll just help you rap. And my rapping skills are excellent. They didn't have easy boxes to wrap either. So anyways, we began to help. And I meet these two gentlemen. When I meet these two gentlemen, it begins to make sense to me. Part of my testimony that is about to be revealed in this near future. Some of you have heard, and I've got a lot of new folks in the church, heard that my brother and I have not spoken for ages. While I was in Africa, while I was away, in my perfected will with God, where I'm supposed to be in my purpose, an email is sent from his wife. It said, I've been talking to my husband, your brother Jay, about a conversation that was done by Jonathan concerning the relationship, and we've been amazed. We watched the pictures that I was posting on Facebook, and I've always wanted to go to Africa, but my husband and I were talking about how great it would be to get together with your family and reconnect. That's just the first email. The second email is I talked to Jay And we've looked at the website for the House of Manna. And we want to come to the church. As we begin this relationship with you again. I just thank God that God is up to something. These are her words to me. While I'm in Africa, the perfected will for my life. See, Pastor, you went from doing a Jesus thing to now we're here in Africa again. What are you talking about? I'm going to show you. Turn with me, if you would, please, to Matthew chapter 2, verse 1. Here's what I find very interesting in this wonderful story of the birth of our Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ. The Gospel of Matthew chapter 2. I'll begin reading at verse 1 and I'll skip a couple parts. So I'm not reading to you what you're able to follow up a little bit later. The Gospel of Matthew chapter 2 verse 1 says, Now when Jesus was what? Born in Bethlehem of Judea in the days of Herod the king. Behold, there came what? Wise men, which is astrologers. From the east of Jerusalem saying, Where is that? Is born king. Where is he that is born king of the Jews? For we have seen his star in the east and are come to worship him. Do you read that? Jesus born already. The astrologers know it by what? A star. Please go down to verse 9, please. When they had heard the king, they departed, and lo, the star which they saw in the east went before them. Till it came and stood over where the young child was. When they saw the star, they rejoiced with exceeding great joy. And when they were come into the house, they saw the young child with Mary, his mother, and fell down and worshipped him. And when they had opened their treasures, they presented unto him gifts, gold, frankincense, and myrrh. What I want to share with you is that where Jesus was born with the shepherds was done in a manger. Shepherds know how to be around other animals. Showing you that we all tend to see to be an animal. Hello? Okay, now, don't look at me all straight. Well, I'm no animal. Yes, you is. You just hide it real good on Sundays. Now, but the Gospel of Matthew speaks of the wise men, which are astrologers. Do you see where the angels came to speak to them? Hello? The angels didn't speak to them? No angel spoke to them? The stars spoke to them? They got their horoscope. They got the horoscope, Josh, and they said that today was going to be a good day because of the horoscope, because it says it was going to be a good day. It'll be a good day. That's what it said. Watch this. Y'all looking at me like, Pastor, what are you talking about? I read those. So do I. Are you? I think they're funny. I do. Here's what I'm trying to tell you. Astrology was used in that day to announce very specific things in the earth. Watch this. What I find very interesting is that the heavens, the host of angels did not come shouting and dancing with the astrologers, the wise men. But the wise men did not find him in the manger. Where'd they find him? In a house. In a house. In a house. See your nativity set getting all messed up now? Do you see that now? Hello? Wise men ain't there in a manger because they want to be in a house. They want to be in a house. They want to be comfortable. Because they read the stars. Listen, listen. So they're in the house. But when you read on, when he was in the manger, there was a decree that was issued, was it not? What did the angel tell Joseph to do? To go where? Take the child and Mary and go to Egypt. Anytime in scripture that you read Egypt that is written, it's speaking of the world system. World system. So when these wise men come, they come into the world system in the house where they are in Egypt. No heavenly host shows up. Did it say how many wise men? Huh? Well, the nativity set has three. Is it three? Or three gifts? I think it was. I think that the gospel writer was prophesying about how we do nowadays. No. We pitch in and buy gifts. We pitch in. And we read the three gifts, but we don't know how many wise men there were. Would they pitched in for the gifts? I think they drew names. I think they drew names. Okay, who's going to go? So they take the gifts and they go into the house. But here's what I find very interesting. Don't miss this. The symbolism, what God is saying here in the Holy Scriptures, is that even the world understands who He is. Even the world system understands that Jesus the Christ needs to be presented with gifts. So the wise men, all 15 of them showed up. Or it could have been the 12, like the 12 tribes of Israel. Could have been 12 wise men. Because you know that everything that God does, the devil tries to duplicate. But they only presented three gifts. What I find very interesting, they opened their treasures when they saw Him. Read the scripture. The wise men, when they saw Him, bowed down. What is that signifying? He's already prophesying you in the very beginning that the world is about to bow down to Jesus and is about to open their treasures where their heart is and give what's in their heart to the King. One was they opened up the treasures and presented to Him gold. That the world system has always been purified because of His presence. Gone through the fiery furnace because of His presence. And what they did is saying, I am giving this gold to represent that I've made it through this process, because once I bow down, my treasures will become holy. The world system begins to understand who He is. Then they present frankincense and myrrh. The anointing. Your fiery trials and your process will always produce your anointing that is deep within your heart. But the moment that you worship Him and bow down and open up your treasures and give unto Him, they worshiped Him. Will you make room for Him? What I just shared with you is what is taking place. One, the birth of the shepherd, the little boy, the baby, the wah-wah baby, okay? And the shepherds come. But as the baby grows older and now is in the world system, now the wise men come, the astrologers come, but heaven's not involved. Heaven is not involved. There's no singing and praising from the angels. There's not a dominant angel coming to speak. It's just the wise men understanding there's something that is new. Don't miss this. Even the world system knows something's new in your life. Even those around you know something is about to take place in your life. And they want to be near you. You see, the transition took place is when He was born, heaven was shouting. And He was sent to be protected in the world system. Now, you see where gifts now are given. The first story is He is the gift that is given to us. The second story is where now the gifts are given to Him. Do you understand that? Where's the gift given? In Egypt, the world system. And the things that you're struggling with and what you're going through and how you're carrying purpose and carrying very destiny within you, God will meet you right where you at, but you've got to present that to Him so that it becomes holy and acceptable unto Him. He's going to bring you out of your Egypt. He's going to bring you out of your world system and your world ways. But you have got to present it to him willingly. So when I said yes to go, I first was born in purpose and destiny in one place, the house of manna. Then he says, go ye therefore. So when I get to that other place, he then speaks within my heart, restoration with my brother. You understand? There's some things that will take place as long as you listen to God. Will you make room for him in your heart? Will you make room for him and listen? Even if it don't smell good, don't sound good. Because I don't know about you, I used to sleep over there at my grandmother's farm. Noisy. Some of you have ever been camping. Oh, I'm going to go get peace and quiet. It's nice. I'm going to lay in the tent. You hear the crickets like 10 decibels louder than ever before. You hear the owls like right at your tent. Woo, woo, woo. Things get intensified. So things get a little bit louder. You didn't realize it? How many of y'all have not been camping? Raise your hand. Not been camping? Y'all need to go camping. House of Manna camping trip. I like that. And for those of you that have not been, wait a minute, hold on now. Some of you, wait a minute. Some of y'all have been camping, but y'all camped out in a cabin. That ain't camping. No, I mean you get out there in that tent, sleep in that sleeping bag with that rock as a pillow. Get that air mattress that when you wake up, it's all flat already because it has a little hole. I'm just trying to tell you something. You're going to experience some different things. Got to go camping. We're going to go camping. We lost some of them already. I'm cool. I step on them. But I ain't the big one that I saw in Africa, I couldn't step. He was going to step on me. I screamed like a baby. But I know that there's some things that are happening because purpose and destiny are in your very life. Do you believe it? Do you really believe it? Do you understand that you're carrying purpose in you? And that after it comes out, sometimes you've got to keep it wrapped tight. Sleep. See, even after the birthing, it still has to be wrapped tight. How many of you, when you had your babies, Miss Kelly, I know, I hate to put you on the spot, but you just had your baby. She's so beautiful. Did they tell you to just let her just be free? Huh? You got to swaddle them. You got to smother them. You know how we do? We got to get, I've seen them wrap the babies. It's like they staple it. It's so tight, and the baby's like, ah! You've got to learn to be acclimated to your purpose first. It's got to be so part of you that when the unwrapping takes place, it's all good. Because you've gotten acclimated to your purpose after the birthing process. See, you've been carrying this thing for a long time. Didn't know how long you've been carrying it, but it's been long enough in there that's so tight, it's caused your everyday life to be very constricted. That finally, when it's birthed out, it's got to be wrapped up again. Because you haven't gotten acclimated to the freedom yet in your purpose. You understand that? For your mamas in here, mamas, when you give birth, it is something that is very different that takes place in your life. Not saying that dad don't experience this. Dads immediately fall in love. Right? If they understand love. But whether mama, oh God, Whether mamas want you or not, just going to say it. Whether mamas want you or not, there is something instinctively inside of them that there's a love for you. Because they've just been through a process that requires them within their body to be acclimated to you immediately. What happens, oh God help me, when there's an adoption at birth, they don't allow the mother to grab hold. They pull the baby away. And there's a sense within that mother that is still longing for her child, whether they wanted the child or not. See, when Jesus was born, He created in us a longing for Him. Because God was with us. Still with us. That's why we have that longing to be touched. We have that longing for Him to touch us. And know that He's doing it because He loves you. Get acclimated to Him. How many of you have been trying to figure out what purpose and destiny is in your life? Raise your hand. That's usually every born again Christian trying to figure out what their destiny and purpose is. And so many will go to the grave not knowing what purpose and destiny is in their life. But it is a blessing when God speaks to you about your vision and your mission. You understand? Jesus was not an unplanned birth. Oh, it was so planned to the point it even had to be agreed first. God is not going to move against your will even when you say no. He's waiting for you to submit your will. What I find in Scripture, and I'll go into this on another teaching, the moment you submit your will, immediately shows up. Immediately shows up. If you're wondering why your immediate hasn't shown up, check your will. See, what aren't you giving to God that He's been asking of you? That He's been tugging at you? Ask that. And He'll begin to share with you the things that need to be given. So we see that the beautiful story that is written about the nativity scene and the birthing of Jesus, it's beautiful. We love it. We also see how the world system turned it around to the gifts. To the gifts. What did the wise men receive in return? Nothing. All they had to do was go back a different way than which way they came. That's a whole prophetic message in itself. When you give your gift to God and you present the very treasures to Him, He'll make a different way for you to go to get you to the place where you need to be. With that Christmas analogy and wonderful story. Beautiful. And don't go home and take your nativity set down. Don't do that. You know, Pastor said, and I did not say. I just pointed out something. That's all. So at this moment, I want to begin to go into Vision Sunday. The reason for this is when I spoke to my pastor, my spiritual father, which is Papa Louis and Mama Rita, he began to tell me is, even they speak of their vision on a monthly basis. He says, because what happens is, if you don't tell them enough, they're never going to get it. So what you talking about? I said, once they get the vision, they're supposed to run with it. He says, how are they going to get it? Pound it in their head. Okay. I thought they had the willful heart to just do it. He said, no, you got to tell him. Remind him, and then remind him again, and then tell him again, and then remind him again, and then tell him again. I said, okay. Put these lights on. Don't fall asleep on me either. Y'all fall asleep, man, I'm going to throw this towel at you. Put you on the World Wide Web, put you on sleep. Mission and vision, your past and your future. Here's what I want to share with you. We're coming out of the Christmas mode. Get out of the Christmas mode. Get out of that Christmas mode. Or should we go back into Christmas mode? Forward. Amen. All right, next slide, please. Habakkuk 2:2 says, Habakkuk, and the Lord answered me and said, write the vision and make it plain upon the tables that they may run with it that read it. What that is saying is those that read it can run with the tablets on their heart, run with it. It doesn't say just write it down. When they read it, they'll run with it. It's saying that they'll read it, take it, hold it, and run with it. Okay? Here's what I want to show you what the Lord has put on my heart. Our mission is to save, equip, send, and multiply. That is our mission for the House of Manna. To get them saved, equip them, and then send them out. You understand that? Jesus got his disciples, and what did he do? He got them saved. Got them saved from what? From themselves. Their sins. And then he began to teach them. As he began to teach them, then he said, okay, now you, two by two, go out and go do it. So for all of those very spiritual people in here, very spiritual, I know you're in here. I'm going to pray about it. You just missed your blessing. I got to pray and see what the Lord said. No, he's already said it. He's already said it. Save, equip, send, and multiply. The vision, this is the thing that when the Lord spoke to me when I was on my cruise this summer, he says, I want you to be the first responders in the needs of your city, your community, and the world. Now, you know those first responders, right? Fire. Who shows up? Firemen. Okay? If there's a crime going on, who shows up? Mom. I know. Mom always shows up. She's ready to fight for you. But the police show up, right? Your first responders are always the one that are directly involved with what the need is. Okay? But here's the problem. We get so caught up of just doing first responding just in the church. I know so-and-so needs this, so-and-so needs that. Okay, amen, that's cool. But don't forget about the ones that are in the city, our community. And don't forget about the ones that are in the world. And when he told me to make it a point to be first responders, he was saying, prepare yourself to always be ready to help. What is the motto here? Don't get ready, stay ready. Because God is always ready to send people out. At the moment, I got to pray about that one, or I'm going to fast and pray. You just missed your blessing. If there's a need, you meet. That's what you do. Next one. Project 61 is how we use save. How do we get people saved? We tell them they need Jesus? We don't tell them they need Jesus. You don't tell anybody what they need. You just love them. When you love them, they're able to see that there's something different about you. Amen. Project 61 is our outreach. Project 61 is where we go out and we, out of the local church, we're going to get them saved for local churches, not this church. Because we're doing it for the kingdom. You understand? When you go out and do evangelism, you're evangelizing for the kingdom of God. Then you tell them, find yourself a church in the local area by your house. Remember, they're just babies. Will you let your two-year-old son run around in the streets? No. You get them somewhere close that someone can grab hold to. Okay? So that's what we do. You reach out to those that are in need and those that are, go back to the unreachable. How many of you know that the unreachable are out there? How many of you were the unreachable? Yeah, that was me. Is that you? Anybody else? There's quite a few. I'm in the right church then. Because that's what we're to do, is reach the unreachable, love the unlovable, touch the untouchable. Amen? Because that's what we're to do. That is our goal, is to reach them through Project 61. Next one, sir. Train up to send out is the next one, which is equip and send, which is through discipleship. We're going to equip our local teams here. We're going to raise up teams in this house. We're going to continue to minister out in the Alazon courts in our inner city. And more things will develop within our community here. But this is how we're going to reach them. We got to raise up teams. You can't raise up teams if the response is always, I'll pray about it. Oh, I'm going to stay on this for a while. Because you're not going to start 2015, I'm going to pray about it. You've been doing that all 2014. It's time to activate and do as he says for us to do. We are a global ministry. How can I say that? Well, the moment I stepped into Kenya, Africa, it became a global apostolic ministry. The reason for the apostolic center is because now Papa Louie and Jason Morris out of Houston, Pasadena, where we were traveling all the time, have established a new network of churches globally and nationally to get pastors connected to go and bless their houses and be a part of helping establish an apostolic move. We've had all kinds of prophetic moves. All kinds of prophetic conferences and all kinds of prophetic teachings. All great, fine, amen. But you cannot have a son raised before you have a father in place. Apostolic centers are necessary because you're setting a father in place and you're raising up fathers to help teach sons and daughters. Then you can send out sons and daughters. Do you understand? You don't just raise up, go, but you don't have a real father. We're going to send people. When I talked to Papa Louie this past week, he says, and I talked to Nashawn, the other pastor of the church, local church there. He says, there's a fire that you started here that is burning so intense. It is still burning intense. We can't wait for you guys to come back and do the conferences that you guys are going to do. That the people, Pastor Willie, is bringing his church into the city. That's the one where you're in the tent, and I saw the big spider. They're coming into the cities. We're going to go to the local churches with the local bishops, the local apostles and prophets, and we're going to teach them. We're going to be taught. You don't go somewhere and just think that you're going to be the blessing. You're going to get blessed as well. Because they have something to give to us. Amen? So I was so excited when I talked to him. He says, well, we're going to put this thing down and we're just going to start. Travel will be on November 2nd of 2015. 2015, on November 2nd, we're going back to Katali. And in Kenya, we're going to begin to do the apostolic aligning and governing of the local churches there. See, they have plenty of bishops over there. Plenty of them. Everybody was called a bishop. Everybody. We started calling everybody, hey, bishop, hey, bishop, hey, bishop, hey, bishop. And they're looking at us, I'm not a bishop. Oh, everybody else is. Right? So they were saying that. So got to the point now, I started asking, well, where's your church? He goes, I don't have a church. Well, how are you a bishop? Why, I'm in my home. Who are you fathering? See, the thing is that they use the titles over there for notoriety. And so what they want to do is say, I have my title. I want respect. How many of them had, they had all their... So Papa Louie, can I preach in jeans? Yeah, go ahead. I got set free. But so did they, realizing it's never how it looks. It's the heart. So there's some good things happening. Amen? Next one, sir. We need to multiply. You know how to multiply? Y'all know how to multiply? Huh? 2 times 2 is what? Somebody got... How you multiply in the kingdom of God is you empty yourself into others. That's how you multiply. And when you empty yourself into others, others get blessed with what you know. But don't get it twisted. They're going to give you something that you need to learn as well. Amen. So we're going to duplicate ourselves and others. And when you duplicate, you've got to evaluate. Because not everything that they're going to give you is going to be right. And not everything that you're going to see them operate in is going to be right. This Vision Sunday, this happy time, happy time, happy time. Evaluate. Make some changes. Tweak some things. Make some changes. Make some changes. Right? We're going to make some changes, right? It's okay? Okay. So when you come in here, and this whole look has changed, and you're like, Pastor, I liked it the other way. You're going to love it this way. Because what happens is when the Lord spoke to me on my cruise, He says, you get very comfortable where you're at. He says, don't get familiar with what I'm doing. Be anticipating what I'm about to do. So I know some changes are going to come. Trust me, I have been looking at all kinds of ways to change this church up. We have never done anything in this church. When we came in, this is the way it was, right? This is exactly the way it was. Carpet, everything. I said, Lord, can I just... You know, I like clubs. Mirror ball. Y'all looking at me, Pastor. Look, I love my screen. I got blessed with my screen and my projector and stuff. I said, Lord, but I want to have monitors. So it's in high def and not just squinting to see what's on the screen. And look. I'm speaking. It's okay. It's Vision Sunday, right? It's Vision Sunday. All right. So, when I begin to start thinking of some things, David, go to the next slide, please. What's your needs? Watch, look. I want an 18-passenger van so that I can wrap with those vehicle wraps the House of Manna, and on the back say Project 61. Okay? And on the left side, it'll say Aliens. Other side, say Outreach. I want to be able to go out and go pick up people that want to come to church if they don't have a way. Instead of having 6 cars go pick up, why don't we just get a van, ministry van, so that we can go pick up people that want to come to church. And then when we go and do a function together, we can all get together in the van and go. Amen? So that's one of the needs. The second, now this is crazy because when I wrote this, I did this yesterday at my house before I came to the church. There's a reason why I said this. The LED lights for the sanctuary, when we came to the church in the afternoon, Inez and I, we went next door to the hookah place and he was like, hey, let me show you how it's coming along. So I walk in there and immediately, what are those lights? He says, those are LED lights. Where's my electrician over here? Excuse me a little bit. These LED lights. Look at him. I hate fluorescent lights. I'll just tell you right now. I hate them. These lights. You remove. Right? You can remove them. You can remove these lights. And we can make room for new. Right? Right. But something's got to be removed so you can put the new. Right? But this is what he was telling me. He says that these fluorescent lights eat up so much energy. But the LED lights that he has, cuts the cost over 30%. Yeah, but see, the thing is, Joe, I don't want it bright. I want to set the mood. Why do you think I have it dark in here all the time? Yeah, I don't know, Pastor. I fall asleep. Wake up. I said, all you do is just cut the wire. It plugs right in. That's it. And all we're going to use are maybe, I think I said 9 in here. You know how big the strips are? Just the size of the grid. That's it. And the light is about like that big. He says, I'll get them for you. You just let me know when. I said, what? He says, yeah. He says, all you do is just clip it on that thing right there and then just plug it into where that light used to be. And then you just, you know, put in another tile and it's good to go. I had already written the LED lights for the sanctuary. He says, I said, well, how long does it take to order? He goes, no, my friend is in import and exports and I have them in this container, thousands of them. So whenever you want them, let me know and we'll get them and then you can install them. I said, I know an electrician. So he says, okay, we can do that. So amen. Now, so this LED lights, I want them. Now, here's the reason for the lighting. You remember this, Kim, about 2 years ago when you came in with Marco and you did the our testimony. I told Marco, I want that camera. I want cameras like that. And he says, oh, no, don't worry about that. You want the better ones. There's better ones than this. I found it. I found it at Best Buy. It's the new, is it 4K or something like that? What is it called? 4K HD. It's the new one. And it's a camcorder, maybe that big. It's Super HD. Ultra HD. That's what I said, ultra. Ultra, right? So I was at Best Buy, you know, just looking around. And I look at this camera. I said, what is that? He says, you need to get one of those. I said, I want one. What is it? He says, it's Ultra HD. In the format of the TVs are starting to turn over to that. I said, well, I want to broadcast my services. He goes, are you a pastor? I said, yeah. He says, when you do your video cast over the internet, this will make everything so much clearer. I said, what you said? What? So I said, I want one of those cameras. I said, I bet you they're lying. He goes, no, they're only $1,400. Huh? I went, look at here. How many of you have priced those? When I first discussed this with Kim and when Marco him, when they did the testimony thing, he said, oh, they run about $5,000 on up. When he said only $1,400, I heard $14 to me is what I heard. Because that's nothing. Really? Really? Some of y'all looking at me like, oh, no, $1,400 is a lot of money. No, it ain't for God. So I want to be able to do this so that I can broadcast the services online. Amen. Hallelujah. Now, kingdom kids. That's your children. They're in the back. Now, I had a hard time with this one. I really did. I'm just going to be honest with you. Because what I want for my kids is what's out here. You've heard me say it from the very beginning. I want them to have what's out there. We bought this program. I don't know if you remember. I was talking about the program that all our teachers can be on the same page, do this app, and they can teach the children. And it has a whole 52-week lesson for the kids. And it's got video and everything. We got it. God bless us. We bought it. We got it. I've been working on trying to figure this thing out since I got back from Kenya. Back and forth, back and forth. Finally, I went over to Altex and said, man, you got to help me. I'm losing my salvation here. How does this thing work? He says, oh, the little tablet that you bought doesn't have the capabilities. He says, but you have your iPad, right? He says, the iPad will do it immediately. This iPad was given to me. And I've had it all along. I just didn't know where to look to make it work. Now I do. At least I tried it this morning, and it works. Y'all don't understand, man. Have you ever spent $500 and then you can't use what you spent $500 on? Isn't that making you a little upset? Don't you know I was pulling my hair? Can't you see it? So anyhow, we got that thing worked out and we're going to begin to use that and we'll start at the first of the year. Come on now. Wall decor and equipment. I want to decorate that room for these kids instead of walking into an asylum room. Because we have tried everything to hang on that wall. We have tried everything. Everything falling off. I thought, what? Devil is a liar. They wouldn't just get spray paint and tell the kids, go for it. Let's see if that sticks. But we have someone that's going to paint a mural for us on that beautiful wall that's back there. So begin to change the look for the kids. Okay? I want for my kids what we have. Amen? Now, all of these things that we're doing, especially the t-shirts for our ministries, for aliens, the House of Manna, Project 61, Kingdom Kids, I want to have something that represents what we believe in. How many of you know that God is a God of order? God of perfection? Is he not? Now, he's not saying that you need to be perfect. But when he does things, he does them decent and in order. How we represent God says a lot. Amen? So there'll be some tweaking going on. Amen? Say it with me now. Tweaking. Say it like you know that you're about to get tweaked. Tweaking. Okay, because we're going to get tweaked in here, okay? Amen. Next one. Got it? Welcome to the House of Manna. In close. It's all right. Now look, for Vision Sunday, what I wanted to share with you is where God is taking us. You can turn on the front light, Miss Donna, Miss Marcy. Front light, please. Where God is taking us is global. Okay? He's taking us global. But he's not just taking me. That'd be foolish to think, oh, just pastor and an elder are going. No. When doors open for teams. Amen? I am a firm believer in that. I told Josh and I told Jonathan, I said, I want a team of musicians. I want a team with the praise and worship. I want a team that there's not one. It's a group of team working towards the common goal. So when you happen to walk into the House of Manna and you're trying to figure out what song they're going to play, you may be hearing Tejano. You may be hearing some salsa merengue. Sure. You may be hearing all new kind of like dubstep. Techno. Don't get twisted. We're going to go old school too. We're going to go old school. But I know that what I want people to understand is that Jesus reaches everybody. And we can do that here. Which leads me to what took place yesterday. Now, we go and wrap presents for the Alazan Courts Christmas party that's for today. And the House of Manna is providing rice and beans and tamales for the whole party. It's 300 people. So some of y'all are like, Pastor, how come we didn't have no party here? This is the first year we have not had a Christmas party with a play here. And by God, please hear my heart with this. My wife and I have literally tried everything to make it happen. That Christmas party that we would do every year is because we wanted to give back to you. Remember that? First year we had it, we had this room next to us and we utilized it. We decorated both sanctuaries. We had the party over there. And it was a blessing to us to give back to you. And trust me, we have tried and people called and said, well, we'll do it. And I said, nope. I'm not feeling it this year, even though I want to so bad. And this is what the Lord said. Show me you really want to give. So the money that we were going to put aside for it is what we gave to the Alazan Courts. Okay. Watch how quickly this turns around. We're wrapping gifts. We have all kinds of sweets and coffee there. It was wonderful. These two men walk in. One of them, Inez and I can't put our finger, but we know him from somewhere. I know you from somewhere. So we get to talking and stuff. He's a professional singer. He sings Tejano and stuff. He's a cousin of Archbishop Patrick Flores. And he says, so what do you do? You ask me? I just help. That's all I do. I just help. Well, here comes Joe Dyer from the San Antonio Housing Authority. He says, oh, that's Pastor Marty. Said, stop. Just want to just chat. That's it. Well, he tries to change. So finally, I said, can you just talk, man? Just talk. So he starts telling me. And he says, yeah, and I did this event. And I've been on the board of LULAC for over 15 years. And I've been on the board for the Guadalupe Arts Center District for 20 years. I've been doing these events with the Alazan Courts for over 19 years. He says, I sit on the board to get certain things done. And I did an event at the theater, and we had different Tejano artists there. And we had Jay Pettis be the closing act. I said, you, what? I said, Jay Pettis? He goes, yeah, you any relation to him? I said, that's my brother. And I'm looking at him like, what are you looking at? He says, well, you know, the Tejano industry has changed. I said, let me tell you about the Tejano industry. Tejano industry got too big for its head. And they took the focus off people and put it on themselves. He says, that's exactly what happened. And I said, but I believe that now's the time to have Tejano go back to its roots and grab the people and bring the people back to where they need to be. He says, you know, I've been wanting to do something. I say, am I tickling your ear? I said, I talked to a friend of mine. He's in the church. I won't mention no names like Jonathan. But and he says, we ought to do something like during, this is going to blow you away, during Fiesta, like how they have Fiesta. How they have Semana Alegre. Remember that? Remember that? Remember that? We were talking about that. Were we not? At my house. We were talking about it, right? The guy that I'm talking to owns the patent and the rights for La Semana Alegre. Did you hear me, Jonathan? Did you hear me? He said, if you want to do something, where do you want to do it? I said, I want to bring it here to the Alazan Courts. Yeah. Now look. Now watch this. So then the other gentleman that was with LULAC and everything, his name, I won't say his name because I don't want to say nothing yet. He said, well, he works at the Valero Corporation. Hold up. So they're rapping and everything. And Carla, Eric can rap gifts real good now. Uh-huh. See? So they're over there, they're rapping gifts and stuff, and I'm talking to these two gentlemen, right? Well, this one guy is one of the, how do I put this? Okay, I don't want to give his title. He's up there in management with Valero. I said, are you with the Valero Corporation that used to be over there on St. Mary Street? He goes, yeah. I said, I used to cater all y'all's events with Rosemary's. I said, I think I know you. I said, and then y'all moved to the other building, which is over here off of I-10, and I used to cater all the events for you guys. When I say I, their director only wanted me to do their parties with Rosemary's. So Rosemary got the gig, and I was the one coordinating. So I did that. He says, well, do you remember when we had the float and the parade? I said, yeah, your Valero float. He says, I bring the float down here for a stage in the baseball area. The diamond at Valero Field, and we set that up. He says, I had your brother sing here one time. I said, now look, don't be pulling my leg now. I said, that's what I want to do here. The gentleman that is at our church, he plays for Gary Hobbs, and he also has some other artists that he knows that we can bless these people over here, and we can give them a free concert during the time of Fiesta, and let's call it La Semana Alegre. The guy says, I own that. You own what? He goes, I own the rights to La Semana Alegre. He says, when they took it away from downtown, remember they took it to the park over there? They were doing it over there. They were doing Tejano Fest over there. He says they had to change it because they didn't go through him. They didn't want to go through him to pay him for the rights to use it. He says, I own it. We want to do that? We can do that. He says, now the food will get donated. I said, huh? I said, normally we do hot dogs, but I want to do food. Why don't we do like different? And they're rapping. Y'all were all rapping. I mean, Daniel was over there rapping. He had tape all over him. I'm here talking. Inez is like, oh, there he is. He's just talking over there, and they're rapping away, right? She said it. Did she not? She said it. Right, Jewel? She was like, oh, there's Pastor. He's just talking. He ain't going to rap because he can't rap. So anyway, she went on. But I'm talking to this guy. And so I got to make it happen. Shoot, come on. Put it together. So I said, why don't we do booths like Fiesta? But we do it here in the inner city for those that can't make it during Fiesta. Because they can't make it. And we do a free concert for them here. So I talked to Joe from San Antonio Housing Authority, which is also the other gentleman that works for Valero Corporation, which is over Valero Field because they own Valero Field. He says, I just did an event for David Mares, Maz, Grupo Vida. He says, I have all these entertainers that I know that they do things for us to raise money. He says, what is your goal? I said, I want to raise awareness for here. And I want to help these children. And I want to help these people. But you can't bring gospel into them. They don't want it. But we can bring love. And I said, if we're just there available to be out there, something can happen. Things are beginning to happen like we had seen. And it's going to happen very quickly because he said, when do you want to get together? I said, tomorrow. Because I'm meeting him today. He's doing the emceeing tonight over there at the Christmas party. So I'll talk to you tomorrow. He says, well, let me send you all my information, and we're going to get together and talk so we can plan this thing. I said, maybe it's not this one. Maybe it's next year. But we start doing something now on a small scale. Let's see where it goes. But here's the message behind everything that we do here, is that we love the people, and we're for the people. Woo! Amen? So all of this now is beginning to be made manifest. Grab this one. And how God coordinates everything and divinely connects. Here we are wondering, what are we doing over here at Valero Field? We're just going to have epidemic tour. We're just going to show and just do this thing. And let's just show up and have men's iron sharpen iron. Over. Let's just show up and do projects. Let's just show up. What's coming out of it? What are we going to do? I don't know. All of a sudden now, boom, vision that was spoken is revealed. Isn't it crazy? Come on now. Come on. All right, Vision Sunday, next month I'm going to talk about Vision Sunday again with more detail and show you exactly what we're doing next, every step of the way, every month. Amen? Part of what we have purposed to do is to send money to Africa, to the Apostolic Center that's in Africa with Papa Louis, and we're sending money to them. Amen? So I'll talk more about it in detail. All right, do we have a visitor in the house? Come on now. What you said?